You guys all going to be all right? Good. This is great. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. The Word of God tells us here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that children are to obey their parents in everything, for this is pleasing in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would each understand what this means and apply it to our lives, especially those this morning, Father, who are still children under their parents' authority. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking to children, which is techna, I said, and that means those that are under the authority of their parents. It means those who still live at home. And it's in contrast to the word paideia. And if you look in your New Testament, oftentimes you'll see the word little children. It might say, let the little children come to me. That would be paideia, not technon. Refers to the little ones. But this is a general command to all children, especially those who are under the authority of their parents. And if you're 17 or 18 or 19 and you still live at home, this verse applies to you. And you have a different responsibility when it comes to being at home and responding to your parents than those maybe who live on their own or who are single, maybe 25, 30, and live away, because you're under the roof of your parents and you have to understand and obey what they want you to do. And the first thing I want us to look at is that this verse has three components. The first component is that children are to obey their parents. The second component is in everything. And the third component is because this pleases God. So let's look at that first one. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. You know, I did an exhaustive study on the Greek on this word. I followed it all over the New Testament. I looked up all kinds of commentaries. And I found a really interesting thing about the Greek meaning of this sentence. You know what this sentence means? Children, obey your parents. And that's it. That's what it means. When I was in the process of being called to Emmanuel Baptist Church, there was a church business meeting here at Emmanuel Baptist Church where many of you, I'm assuming, were here, and you were voting on whether or not to call me. And I had been up here 7 days before that. And a week later, there was a church meeting, and I knew you were having that. And I was actually in the pulpit preaching to my congregation. And the end of your meeting happened at a time while I was still preaching, and so my wife had a cell phone, and she was in the church, and I was a little nervous because this was a really big decision in our life and the life of your church. And I saw my wife slip out the back door of the church, and I knew that the phone call had come. The phone call from Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I'm preaching away, and I'm a little nervous, and I'm thinking about this, and my eye was on the door. And I was going through, I don't remember what I was preaching on, I'll probably never be able to recall that unless I go look, but my eye was on the door, and then the door cracked open, and my wife came in, and she's holding the cell phone, and the cover's shut. She's done talking, and I'm up in the pulpit, and Heidi goes like this. And I knew what that meant, and I was so excited, and I actually had already resigned from my congregation. We were trusting God that this was where He wanted us to be, and my eye was on the door. And hupakuo is the word that's used in Greek for obey your parents. And hupo means under, and kuo means to listen. And what this word means is that, children, you're to obey your parents. You are to listen unto your parents. And the word became to mean the one who stands and waits at the door. The one who stands and waits at the door. The one who answers the door. And it was said of someone, if they went to the doorway and they opened that up for someone who was coming, especially if you were anticipating guests, that that was the person who opened the door. They hupakuo'd the door. They opened it up for the person because they were anticipating that. And when I think of obedience for children, that's what I think of. I think of a child with a waiting, expectant attitude that what my parent says, and when he says it, is a door that I'm going to open. And I'm waiting for that. And it's not this avoiding my parents and hiding out from them, and I'm thinking there's some chores to do, so I'm going to hang out in the backyard where they can't find me, or I think there's some chores to do, so I'm going to go hide out in the corner or fake I'm doing something else. It's an expectancy that says I'm waiting for that door to open, because if my parents say, I need you to do this, I'm going to say, okay, I want to do that. And that's the picture that comes with children obey their parents, is to be one who is waiting for that command or that direction or that thing that you can do, because it honors your parents when you obey. And so the Bible says that when we obey our parents, it should be as one who is waiting to be obedient. The second thing the Bible tells us is that we're to obey in everything. Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever obeyed without obeying? You know you have. You took the letter of the law or the exact command and, well, Mom, you told me to do this. And you're like, you know what I meant. You go, well, not really, but you know what I mean. Have you ever obeyed without obeying? And the Bible says not just to obey your parents, because you can kind of fake that kind of stuff and you can act like you're doing it but not do it. The Bible says obey your parents in everything, and it means to actually obey when you're obeying. I was about 14 years old and I was raised on a farm and I wanted to drive tractors all the time. I mean, it's all the time. I would do anything to drive a tractor, any excuse. I remember when I was older, my dad didn't trust me to plow with a five-bottom plow behind a 1270 case tractor. And so my mother would have me come ride with her, and she would ride in the back of the tractor and I would steer because she'd be tired, and there was a big padded area and she'd actually lay down in the back of the tractor and I would actually plow, and that was okay because she was watching me. But when I was about 14, before my dad would let me go by myself, one time he said, okay, you can take out the 1030 case tractor with a 12-foot chisel plow and you can go out and work on this field right across the road. But one thing, when you get to the end of that field, there's another field that joins it and there's no fence rail. Whatever you do, don't drive into that field. I thought, this is not a problem. This is no problem at all. And so I began to chisel plow this field, and I came home from school, and I'm out there, and it's supper time, and I'm going, and I love it. It was an open tractor, no cab, and I used to stand up and hold the steering wheel because I like the smell of diesel fuel going over the top of my head with my stocking cap on. It's probably about 50 degrees out there, and I'm 14 years old, and going back and forth and get to the end and turn around, and I did this for hours, and it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm still going. It's 10:30. I'm still going. It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm still going. But every time I came to the end of the field, that other field was across the way there, and I wanted to drive out there, and I don't know why, I just did, because I was told not to. And so every time I'd turn around, I'd just turn a little closer. And then I'd turn a little closer. And then I would turn a little bit closer, and before you know it, I was kind of having one wheel go around that field out at the end there as I turned around, and then a second little turn would be a little farther, and I kept going farther, and then one time I went just a little too far out there, and I went to turn around. I didn't realize it, but this was a very, very muddy field. And I crossed over that boundary and went to turn around, and my tractor sank and it went down in the mud, and there was mud flying everywhere, and fear filled my heart because I knew I was in huge trouble. But I really wasn't driving out in the field. I was just turning around. And so I had to walk home, and I walked home, and it's late at night and it's dark and the tractor's out there. And I said to my dad, I got the tractor stuck. And he's like, how'd you get the tractor stuck? Did you go out in that? No, I didn't drive out there. I just turned around. And we both knew better, and my dad went out with me, and I was embarrassed, and I felt a little guilty, and we got to the tractor, and we pulled it out and took it back, and I didn't do any more chisel plowing that whole entire fall because my dad didn't trust me, because I didn't obey him in everything. I just kept slipping a little bit to the edge, and then I kind of fell over, and then it was too late, and I got that tractor stuck. And the Bible says that as children, you're supposed to obey God in everything. And you know what that means. It means that if you're supposed to do something, that you do it all the way. It means that if your parents tell you something and you see a loophole, it means you don't take it. And if you have a question about you're not sure what they mean, it means that you ask them. Well, Mom, Dad, you said that I had to do this before I do that. But if I do this, can I do that? And if they say okay, then it's okay. But if they don't, then you do what they want, because you're to obey your parents in everything. You're supposed to obey what your parents say. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's commands and don't reject your mother's teaching. You're supposed to obey what they say. Secondly, this is a hard one. You're supposed to obey when your friends don't. Now, you know how hard this is. I can think of numerous occasions when my children came to me and the reason was, but Dad, but Mom. Billy and Mary and Bobby and Johnny and Susie and 15 other names I've never heard of, people that probably don't exist, they're going too. And it's like, well, but we don't want you to. We don't want you to do that or to go there. But all the other kids are doing it. Well, we don't want you to. And kids, you know, sometimes just because all the other kids are doing it doesn't mean that you can do it too or that you should. Your parents might have a good reason. As a matter of fact, they probably do. The Bible says, obey your parents when your friends do not. Proverbs 30, verse 11 has a very pointed verse. Listen to this. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless his mother. There's a generation, you're living in it, you know what I mean, of kids that refuse to obey their parents. They're defiant, they're rebellious, and you know what I mean. Don't be in that generation. And then you should obey right away. I don't know how many of you heard of a guy named Thomas Akempis, but he's like a really bright guy years ago that wrote a lot of cool stuff down, and people think he's really smart. And he said this, Thomas Akempis said, instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. That's hard to hear, isn't it? I think that might be the single biggest area where most kids today, most children, even you guys, where you wrestle, it's like, you know, just do it right now. I want you to go do this. But. Instant obedience is obedience. Delayed is disobedience. A couple months ago in my house, I like to tease our dog. We have a little tiny dog. It's a Chihuahua. I find it to be a little annoying most of the time. It barks a lot when people come to the door. And I kind of like it, but I don't want to let on. So just let that go. But I left one time for church, and Lauren was sleeping on the couch or taking a nap, and Heidi and I left, and I like to kind of play with the dog, and I like to see if it'll obey, you know. And so sometimes I'll put meat in the floor, and I'll just put meat right in front, and I'll say, stay, stay. And I'll go sit down, and then I'll go around the corner, and I'll be checking. And I do this all the time. And this dog's got really good at that. It'll actually stay. It'll sit there with a piece of bacon on the floor with the smell going through its nostrils, and the dog's just, you know, just waiting for it. And it'll just stay there. I do it all the time. And now the family's been doing it. And I remember Josh, when he was at home, he would actually, this is no lie, he would take a piece of meat, put it on the dog's nose and say, stay. And the dog would sit there with both eyes zoned in on this piece of meat, you know, just looking at that. And he'd go, okay. And the dog would just eat it up. So we were going to church one time, and I took the dog, put it at the very top step at our wooden steps in our house where you go in, and I said, stay. And then I got my coat on and got my shoes and got my stuff. Stay. I went around the corner, and I made the sound of opening the door because dogs know what's going on. They hear, they know what, you know, I like to fake it out. So I made the sound. I opened the door, and I shut it, and I went around the corner, and the dog was still sitting there, and I'm like, stay. And I got in the car, and went to church and came here, and Lauren came to church about an hour later. And she goes, what did you do to the dog? I'm like, what? She goes, well, I got up, and it was just sitting at the top of the steps, just sitting there shivering. And I was like, you're kidding me. She's like, no. And I'm like, well, I just told it to stay. And she goes, well, it did. And I thought, oh, that was kind of cruel. I thought it was really funny. You know, I think that's a really obedient dog, you know. But that's what we're talking about. That's like, you know, I'm going to obey my parents and I'm committed. And I'm not saying be like a dog. And, you know, parents, don't put meat in your kid's nose. And see, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that's the kind of obedience that dog learned, because he knew that if he stayed, that it would be good for him. He might get a piece of bacon or a piece of meat. And that's really obedience when you say, you know what, whatever it is, I'm at the door, I'm waiting for what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to obey in everything that you tell me. And thirdly, the Bible says, this is the best one, you guys. The Bible says that we're to obey God, but it gives us a reason. Did you ever get in trouble at school and get in trouble when you get home? Right? That happened to me a lot. One time I got sent to the principal's office, and so I got, you know, I said a bad thing in class, and I was in like fifth, sixth grade. Mrs. Wyam was my English teacher, and I was sent to the principal's office, and I went down there and I sat there. And I don't know how parents find out about this stuff. I think there's like we didn't have email then. We didn't have all this instant messaging. We didn't have internet because they can't, you know, so I don't know how, but parents have a way of finding out when their kids got in trouble in school. And I got home, and my parents knew about it, and I got punished again because that's how it works. You know that when you disobey your parents, you disobey twice every time. Right? Your parents say to do something. When you disobey your parents, you disobey twice, because you disobey what your parents told you, but then you're disobeying God because God says to obey. When you obey your parents, you're obeying twice. If your parents say to do something and your ear's at the door and you're willing and you obey and everything and you follow through, children, when you obey God, you obey twice, and God knows that, and the Bible says that this is the only commandment in the Bible that has promise. And the Bible says that when you obey your mom and dads, when you do that, it goes well for you. Ephesians 6:3 is a passage about obedience, and it says it will go well for you. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might go well with you and that you might have a long life in the land. When I was in middle school, I had a speech impediment. I know that's hard for you to believe. My speech impediment was not speed. It wasn't talking too fast, even though I still have that impediment. But I had something I did with the back of my mouth, and I somehow slurred my S's, and it wasn't a lisp, it was kind of throwing in a Hebrew in there, and it was just really an annoying. I didn't notice it until it was pointed out. But my parents wanted me to go get some speech therapy at the school, and I did that, and I hated it. I just hated it because it was so embarrassing. Because, you know, all the other kids are doing stuff. And, you know, where are you going, Bink? It's like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. You know, it's like I'm going down to all the way to the third floor in the hallway. The opposite, the end, there's this long, long hallway and all this wooden doors and floors. And, you know, it's like you're walking down there and that's the speech therapist guy and lots of people went in there. And I had to go in there and sit down. And I remember he had a little jar of bubble gum on his desk. And if I did a good job talking to him, he'd give me a piece of bubble gum like a softball, you know, with little lines on there. And I'd go in there and talk to him, and I was so humiliated, and I was so embarrassed. And I'm actually glad it happened because I got that speech impediment kicked out of there. But my parents made me go, and I didn't want to, and I obeyed them. And I got all done with that. I don't know how long it took, weeks or months of going there and being embarrassed. And my friends probably teased me, and you know, they probably figured out what my speech impediment was, and they probably used it on me, and they'd probably say things like, hey, Binkley, you know, you going to go up to speech impediment or something? I don't know what they did, but I know it was embarrassing. And my parents made me go. They knew it'd be good for me. And got all done one day, and I came home from school, and the last day of my speech, you know, impediment, training, learning, whatever you call it, speech therapy, it was a brand new purple banana seat Schwinn bike on the sidewalk. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you guys, I know Jim Benson had one because I talked to him about it. Had a 2.5-inch wide slick on the back. Guys, I know it doesn't mean a lot to you guys, but I'm telling you, that was the ticket. A slick. And you could get out in the slippery grass, a little muddy, and you could pedal fast and actually spin out with your bike. And I mean, that was really cool. And I didn't know what was going on there, and my parents had that surprise for me because I went through that speech impediment class. And I might have complained a little bit, but I did it, and I bucked up, and I persevered. And they said, here you go, you can have this bike. And I had dreamed about that. I didn't have a bike before that. It was my first bike. Well, my parents had big, you know, ones that you could ride, you know, but I didn't want to be seen on one of those. And purple banana seat bike with the big, you know, the handlebars that come up like this and go down. And I imagine there were those purple plastic things hanging out of the end of the handlebars. And I used to wax that bike and ride it. But I got that bike and it was a blessing. It was a gift to me from a parent because I was obedient. Now, I'm not saying if I would have whined a lot more, they wouldn't have given it to me. But it was a blessing because it goes good for you when you obey your parents. And you know it's true. You know it's true. You know that your home life is easier when you obey your parents. You know it's true. When you come home and you've been disobedient in the morning, you didn't do your chores before you went to school, if you have some, you don't want to go home. You don't want to see your mom and dad. You avoid them. You don't want to look at them. And you try and sneak around them. And you know they're looking for you. But the Bible says that when you obey your parents, it goes good for you. You know, I employed a lot of people in my day. I'm sure I had over 100 people when I was in business that worked for me, 100 different people. And I could probably tell you the ones that didn't obey their parents when they grew up. Because they wouldn't listen to me. They may have their own ideas about everything and they were very difficult. But people that learned, employees that learned to obey their parents, you know what? It didn't just go well for them in their home life. They didn't have a better home life and better sibling life. They had a better work life. And they were better in church and they were better in school and they were better in work. Because when you learn to obey your parents, you learn to put on the right size shoe. And you learn what your responsibilities and what your place is, and it makes your whole life go better for you. It's just a fact. Not only is it just a true principle, God makes that happen. And if you learn to obey your parents and you learn to follow their lead, it will go better for you. It's a fact. Thomas Benton was a United States Senator for many years, and he was giving a speech one time, and he was talking to some women, and he was making a speech in New York, and he turned to all those women present, and he said, when I was little, my mother asked me never to use tobacco. And I said, Mom, I'm not going to do that. I made her that promise. And later on, she said, Son, I never want you to gamble. Make me a promise that you won't gamble. And he said, Mother, I won't do that. I promise. And I got in my teenage years, and he says, my mother said to me, Son, promise me that you will never become an alcoholic, that you won't drink. And I made my mother that promise. I made a promise to her that I would be totally abstinent in respect for her wishes. I've never broken that resolution. He said, now, ladies, whatever honor I have in life, and you have me here as a special speaker, whatever honor I have in my life today, I owe that to my mother. Because my mother told me what I should do, and I followed her. And children, someday, if you grow up and you honor God and you honor a family relationship and you're obedient to Him and you have jobs where you honor your employer, you will learn that from your parents right now. And if you don't learn that right now, it will not go well for you. It's just a fact of the Bible. I'll tell you one more thing. You will never regret obeying your parents. Never. You'll never regret it. I think back the hardest times in my life and the relationship with my parents is those things when I think about when they come to mind when I defied my parents and hurt them. And I've seen my parents shed tears because of my disobedience. And that makes me choke up right now thinking about that. But the times where I was obedient and I know it, I look back and that brings me such fond memories. I never regret one single time ever that I obeyed my parents. I regret many times when I did not. Bob, play us the conclusion of that show, if you could, please.